in Hachshos Avrechem, page Kuf Chav Gimel. The Rebbe is giving us examples and helping us to apply this strategy of how to deal, the strategy of dealing with a taiva, a yetzahar, which we've been talking about by Arichas. He was concentrating mostly on the example of achila and how to detach oneself, this whole mahalach of oidais, of looking at oneself as a spectator and watching the effect that these machshavas, that these taivas, yetzar has on a person, and so on. So on the bottom of Kuf Chav Gimel, the Rebbe continues, "V'mida gru his ayra b'cha." So he was talking about different taivas, and he says, "Now, what happens if a person a different situation where the issue is not a taiva, the issue is a mida gru his ayra b'cha, that there's a negative mida." That a negative midah that you know that is a part of you. There's a midah that because of something that happened, there's a hisiris of this negative, of this destructive midah. Im shalkina, haisina laiza ish. If you're feeling jealousy, envy, or hatred towards a person, or midah ra acharis, or any other midah ra the person is feeling. Even though you know very well how terrible it is, how this midah is so destructive, the midah of kinna and sinna, you know what it is, and you know how it could hurt you and hurt others. Nevertheless, despite the fact that you know in your head, you understand that this is very, very bad, but still it's difficult for you to be mevatel that midah. You don't know what to do. B'shas ma'isa, when there's a hisayrus of this midah, you don't know what to do with it. Akol hirara ki yifkeh hasa shalom echa v'ikshel echa l'achi keihu memcha levatel, or any destructive thought that you find difficult, you don't know how to distance yourself from this and to be mevatlet. You feel that you're being swept along in this machshava, whether it's a hisaris of a bad midah or it's a different machshava that's not good. So, heaven mishamish ben tzoy hazeh. Im einata oimed b'shazu b'tfilah. He says, if at that time, but the time this happens, if it's not the time of davening, either it's not davening when this happens, although some of the most bizarre machshavas tend to appear during davening. But if it's not the time of davening, or even if it's a time, let's say, in the davening at the beginning or at the end, when there's no issue of being mafsik with saying something. Emor sapasik eish tamid tukad al mizbeach leisichba. There's a very, very powerful skula from the Arizal in the name of the Ramak. K'mashakosu b'sidu ha'ri b'shem ha'ramak shekibel mipi Elio. That where the Ramak, where Moshe Kodavero, received this mipi Elio Navi Mamish, and this was then handed, passed along to the Ari HaKadosh, that pasuk of Eish Tamid Tukad Al Mizbeach LeSichba, to say that pasuk Eish Tamid Tukad Al Mizbeach LeSichba is a very, very powerful means of controlling that hisiris of a negative midah, of a terrible thought. Or Emor B'chol Kechacha Haknani Achiti Amori Hapizi Achivi Hivusi Vahagigoshi Ha'omer Betzadl Kotten Miskeni HaKodesh HaRebi Rebbe Lamelech Nezansk. And the Noam Lamelech brings in his Tzadl Kotten that this also is a very powerful, it's a very powerful way to subdue those destructive machshavas, to say with a lot of kavana these words, just the pasuk Haknani Achiti. We're not going to go into why that is and why these psukim work. It's just that these are kabbalas that we have from the tzaddikim. V'nochem l'shan es pam lemo zeh pam zeh. The Rebbe says it's good to switch off, sometimes to say eish tomid and sometimes to say haknani achiti. Kanal mihamor v'shemesh. Shetachbul ha-sha'isam v'sazman rav ena pa'alas. As we already learned from the tzaddikim, that any tachbula, any strategy that becomes, that one repeats often, then it becomes rote, and it doesn't have the desired effect, and you just are saying something without any feeling or any thought. So it's good to switch once in a while. But if you're in the middle of davening, and you're not allowed to speak. You're not allowed to speak in that place. Then I say satachbul hanal. Then you should try in your mind to use the tachbula that we were talking about that we were learning. Having mistakel al hamachshava, v'habet eich chayach zoris. Take a look at the machshava that you're having. In other words, you can't speak. So, even though normally the first thing you would do would be to try to say one of these psukim, but here you're unable to speak, or if you've already, you are able to speak and you've said a posuk and it hasn't helped, then to use the tachbula that we've been learning, to look at that machshava, have mistakel al machshava. Again, to separate yourself in your mind and to look at that machshava. Habit eich chayach zoris ma'usam utunefes zu hisparts of mechacha bargleho mezuhamas mitunefes of deresis is kol ha-kodesh ha-shevacha. Take a look and see how this thought is like a cruel beast, an animal that's disgusting and filthy, that has infiltrated into your mind, and with its filthy feet it's stamping upon and dirtying as kol ha-kodesh ha-shevacha, and ruining and corrupting all that's holy inside of you. Ves piha oyon pe'eris, and how it's opened up its mouth wide. Cholchutei v'nimei gufcha nafshcha v'nishmascha mechasemes, and it's seeking to destroy every single part of your guf, your nefesh, and your neshama, is trying to crush, to destroy. He showed me his zohar shaloi es hamachshav. The next page, ro'a tachshav. He says, whatever you could try, whatever you can, not to continue with that negative machshav, that destructive machshav of ira, other mida, hatred for a person, a jealousy, or some other thought, not to remain in that machshav. Rak aydais hamachshav, as we've been learning, but to try as much as you can in your mind to look at the machshava in a cold way from the outside, and to, as we've learned, and to dissect that machshava of what it does to you and how disgusting it is and what kind of an effect it's going to have upon you. How it's a dangerous and evil beast that is destroying, that seeks to destroy nefesh adbos, your entire existence. To tremble and to scream within your heart, to scream inside. Obviously, you can't say anything here, but to scream inside. Am I an adulterer? This is a machshava that a person has. To say inside of yourself, is this the kind of a person I am? Again, to separate yourself and to think about yourself. Am I totally ratted? Am I totally ratted? Am I allowing myself to rot in the lowest pit, in the lowest place of existence? Hashem Yishmeinu. And that's just in the Yiddish. From Reitz Ata L'Shamish Be'em Tzoyzeh Shaloi B'Shas Atilam. And if it's at a time where it's not davening and you're someplace and you're by yourself, then you're able to call it out, to actually to scream out the words, or you're someplace by yourself, to say the words, these type of to express these kind of feelings. Rebbe says, I have to repeat we have to review the warning that we learned before in Parakeh to test whether or not the Islavus that I'm feeling is a true Islavus or not. Amanu Sham Shekevan Shain Bechinus Atzmis Hapnimis Kibchinus Dova Mamashi Hashem Chutzalai. We spoke then, we learned then, that to test oneself, to see inside oneself, and to know whether or not what you're doing is sincere and it's authentic, it's not the same thing as when it comes to checking and looking into something that's outside of yourself. Therefore, it's very, very hard that a person shouldn't deceive himself. It's very hard not to deceive oneself. Shliyata bo ha'ish es atzmei. Kein gam ha'istaklus odois ha'rachash ha'tayva midavihara kashihi. So even all that we've just been learning, where a person is to try to separate himself and to look at that terrible midah that's been misayir within him, or the terrible thought or taiva that's been misayir in him, and to be angry and to be upset about what's happening inside of him. He says, Koshahi, it's very difficult to feel that way. Obviously a person has to want not to have such machshavas, not to have such hirurim, that it hurts him and he feels upset about it. There are a lot of people that would think, look, it's a good thing that I'm not doing any aveiros. So at least I have to allow myself to indulge in some machshavas. It would be impossible for me to prevent myself from having machshavas like this. And thank God I'm not doing any of these things. So I'm feeling terrible jealousy or hatred towards a person, but Baruch Hashem, I'm not actually confronting him or telling him that. So let me at least enjoy some dinyanis and some machshavas to indulge in these machshavas. Or when it comes to chalila, other things where there are machshavas of aveiros, at least I'm not doing any aveiros, so let me indulge in that. Obviously, if that's what a person feels, then it's not going to be much of an effort that you're going to make to apply what we're learning. The Rebbe's writing for people who desperately want to have pure thoughts, and who want very, very much to live in a way of Kedusha and Tahara. So it's not going to help if you're reading things that are inappropriate, or you're looking at things on the computer or the television that are inappropriate, and you close your eyes for a second and start screaming out in your head these diburim that the Rebbe is talking about. And then you open your eyes and you look back into the thing that you were busy with before, or even if you look at those things earlier and then afterwards you try to struggle with this, obviously that's going to make it very, very difficult in terms of how sincere you are. And to test yourself, what the Rebbe's talking about, it's kosher. He says that it could even be that the way that the person is looking at at that feeling that he has, and at that taiva, right, you're supposed to look at it as a separate and detached thing. It could be that when you're looking at that itself you're enjoying. You're enjoying to look at that taiva. It could be, that's what he says, it could be that your whole way of looking at that Yetzirah from the outside is to enjoy it, and to be megar, in other words, to agitate it, but in such a way, not that it disappears, not that it goes away, but that itself is mitach taiva. The yachshav, and you could mislead yourself and deceive yourself into thinking shaydaisa mistakel, that you're not in that taiva, you're not in that yetzahar, but you're thinking about that taiva, you're thinking about that yetzahar, but you're not mamish in it. V'loyeda lamaloy paola. You don't understand. You say to yourself, I've been learning Achshavas Avreichem, and I'm trying that method of saying these things, and I was looking at the Yetzirah from outside and talking about and being angry and upset about what this Yetzirah is, what this Machshava or this Mida is doing to me, and I don't find that it's going away. Other Rabbah, I find that it's as strong or getting even stronger. So Rebbe says, because it could be that you don't want it really. You really don't want it to go away. You don't really want it to go away. You're using this mahalach, and even with this mahalach, you're being megara the Yetzirah itself. The question is whether you really want it to go away. Whether you really want to have a mind that's free of all of that. Or whether talking about it or thinking about it is somehow a vicarious way of enjoying that machshava. So these are things that could often happen. Mahavdol alef alfa hevdolos. You have these galoch and these preachers. Most of them eventually either get arrested or for doing stuff, or they make big public apologies for stuff. So they're darshaning day and night about these guys. All they darshan about is the aveira of niyuf, of adultery, and it's all they talk about is adultery, and all they talk about is the taivas and the devil, and that's all they talk about. They're completely shkuim. They're totally, totally embedded and immersed in the darkest filth. But they're always screaming about the people who are doing it. And they're always yelling, carrying on about how horrible these disgusting taivas are. And then right after they finish the drasha, they go and they do the maisa. Those drushes, those dramatic drushes, you could hear them screaming, not that we hear them, but in those drushes when they're screaming about how the devil is doing this and is so disgusting that, all you can hear in that is the deepest she'ifas and rotzen that they have to do those things. And that's exactly what they are. It's not a way of dissecting and destroying those machshavas and those taivas, but it's a way of talking about them. And by talking about them, you're still connected to them. You still have an attachment. You still have a shaychus to them. And one has to be very careful that not to, Rabbi saying, not to fall into such a mahalach that by you talking about them. I said this to you, I've mentioned this many times. That just 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was talking about those additional viduis that people want to say or to use to go into all kinds of machshavas about the viduim. That I told you, the friend of mine had said when that became popular, when it first came out, those English translations of the vidui book, those vidui booklets, the one with the cover, the guy clapping vidui, and it has all the explanations and things on the bottom and extra notes. So my friend said, right, I never even thought of those Yetzirahs. Those are new ones. It sounds interesting. I never thought of that. I might, it's something to consider, So the tzaddikim said, the Bechlal, when it comes to Vidui, that one does not sit in the Vidui. You say the words, and very, very quickly to go through Vidui. Not what you see in a lot of others. Not to say that there's not a mahalach the other way, but there's a danger in that. Even in the vidui, even look how a person is so weak that there is such a mahalach that the tzaddikim are worried that even by going into this and thinking about this, you're thinking about this aveira that you did, right? and you find that you're thinking about this aveira, and the purpose of your thinking about this aveira is to have charata, to feel terrible remorse, and to feel very tzibrochen about it, and to have a kabbalah haba that you're never going to do it. But the machshava itself is a pleasure. The machshava itself is an aveira, not an aveira, but pile, God forbid. But it's part of your problem. So to sit on this, what they want you to think about, a person did an aveira, so he's supposed to be masakin that, so he's supposed to go into that machshava. So you're going to start screaming about it and against it. But even that time that's spent in such a way, even that could be part of one's nafila, one's falling apart and falling down. Just like you could have, sometimes there's a boy and a girl that it's a very, very bad situation between them on many levels, and it's not a shidduch at all. It's not a shidduch at all. And they're fighting all the time, but that's also a taiva. To scream and to fight and to yell, I'll call a pachas, at least I have a kesher with this person. You have boys and girls that they're 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, 20, whatever, and they're going out for like a year, 2 years, and most of the time is spent, they divide their time either between doing aveiras and fighting. That's usually the time is divided between aveiras and fighting, and when they're not doing aveiras, and they're not fighting, so then each one is thinking about doing aveiras and feeling upset about fighting and writing letters about how bad they feel about the fighting. But it's always these two inyanim. It's these inyanim, the taivas and the problems that we have in our relationship. This is kaseida, the immature teenage type of affairs that are being carried on. But that's itself a pleasure. In other words, the Baal Taiva who talks it into himself that he has this very deep romantic relationship with the sophomore from high school, and she talks it into herself that she has this very deep meaningful relationship that's going to change the world, and that they're going to get married, you know, in 7 years or something, and how their parents don't understand, and how their rebbeim don't understand. It could be the parents don't know, and the rebbeim don't know, and so on and so forth. So even the machshavas, even the things that are idais, that are about the relationship, are filled with taivas and shmutz. That's also a hana. It's better than being by oneself. So to yell and fight, to yell at and to fight with a pretty young lady, it's better than nothing at all. Even though you'd say, what, is that crazy? What do you want? You spend that's how you spend your time arguing and fighting with a person, a human sugar. Do you enjoy that? The answer is, I absolutely do. Yes, I enjoy it. Do you enjoy talking about for the last 3 years how your relationship is not going in the right direction? Why don't you end it if it's still better than being by yourself? So I'll talk about that terrible relationship. I'll say vidui about it on a Seder Mitzvah Yom Kippur. I'm crying and I'm clapping and I'll hate that I did this and I think this and so on. But don't take it away from me. So at least if I could remain in that place of a machshava, it's still alive. And that's a dangerous thing. It's very, very hard to know one's true intentions, and that's what the Rebbe's talking about. Whether you really, really want to be free of that, and you really want the Tahel Ibn Ladach Abemis. I told you about, there's a student of mine who went through a lot of, this is a young lady, she went through a lot of terrible things, and she finally got away. It was big Mesiris Nefesh. She was able to get to a seminary someplace in Yerushalayim. And this goes back in Maisa from 20 years ago. And she went there to learn how to learn and to become totally and completely detached from all of the things that she went through growing up. And she's very, very, very sincere and very strong-willed girl. And back in those days when people were writing letters, you know, it wasn't phone calls and emails and all of that, so she wrote me a letter, and she was describing how disturbed she was that she says she goes to the seminary, and the subjects are so fascinating. This one's a Navi, this one's Musa, you know, and all the things that she wanted to learn, but she says that every single shmuz, they're all men instructors that she had back then. Now they already have much more women. every single shmuz always came back down to the same thing, which was the inyan of you know, sex, how evil it is and how terrible. And she said that she suspects that these men are not well. That's true to me. She says that she's uncomfortable sitting in the clubs with men that talk about day and night to girls about the evil of premarital sex. She said that I'm starting to feel very uncomfortable about these guys, these rabbis. So I tried to reassure, but I was also, you know, getting nervous. I mean, every shmooze, it's like these, you know, these proper British, you know, Bali Musa, you know what I'm talking about? There's a certain, they're very nice men, but they're talking about that stuff day and night. And she, it could be they, you know, maybe the rest of the girls needed that, but she's like, you know, been there, done that, and she wants to go on and just be a pure and holy person, and she wants to learn, like, you know, Rambans, and she wants to grow. And every single class was on this Indian. Like the rabbis were hacking on this Indian, and she didn't want to talk about it. She didn't want to hear about it. She just wanted to, let's go fight there, you know. So not that the rabbis actually, I'm sure those rabbis felt that they had to try to break through some of that tumah and to deal with that Indian. But one has to be very careful when it comes to these things. Yeah.
Over the years, it seems like. The Rebbe has talked about different strategies for dealing with these types of things. Like another one was this Machshava Zara Machshava Acharis strategy. So how is a person, and this strategy of Odos seems like, like the Rebbe's saying, is like a very fine line between being into it or like being totally immersed in the Machshava versus Odos the Machshava. So is it just that each person, depending on his own Iti and what works for him, chooses a strategy, or is it that at different points in one's avodas Hashem, different strategies work more effectively than others?
That's a good question. We find that in general, the Rebbe says this in a few places too. He's going to, in a few program from now, he says it. Generally, it's very, very much up to the person and what works for that individual. Or what works for one person because of the sharish of his neshama doesn't work for another person. So that's why the Rebbe will go through different things. And he basically says what's most, you know, work with what's most effective for you. And at different kufas in your life, this will work and that won't work. So it's very much a question of you know, totally up to the individual to see. And he only uses, this is also Rashi Prakim, he says you could devise your own. He's just suggesting things that he's worked with the guys and he's seen that this has been very effective, but he's just only using this as Rashi Prakim suggestions for different things that a person can try himself.
That
everything should be true and everything should be real. That's what these parashas now. The parashas of Esav, coming to this, the parashas of Yaakovinu and of Esav, and as the tzaddikim said, the mefarshim tell us that. It's not the way that we think that Esav was some sort of a guy like, you know, that we associate with some scary, you know, thug that you know from television or that we've seen on the street. Like the Kotzke said that Esav used to wear white begodim and he used to wear white shtreimel and weisesok and white socks and Esav looked very, very religious and Esav himself spoke in a religious way and acted in a religious way. And it's not the way that we think, or the way that they make in those, you know, in the religious coloring books, you know, Esav with tattoos and, you know, holding a beer and, you know, like this. You know. Esav knew how to conduct himself in a very, very fine and abler way. And only at certain times it came out the difference, but the Yitzchak Avinu says, "Hakol Kol Yaakov, Ayidai Midei Esav," and the voice, as Chazal tells, the Mefarshim said, the voice was very, very similar. It's just that Yaakov Avinu, the fact that he saw the Shem Hashem, that he was saying Shehikah Hashem Lefanai, that the name of Hashem is being used. So the name of Hashem being used is raised certain doubts in Yitzchak's mind. But it wasn't like it was an obvious difference between Yaakov and Esav. It's not something that any of us would have necessarily picked up on. They would have both looked like very fine Jews. And Esav looked like a very fine person. And it's a very subtle thing that separates between the highest kedusha and the lowest tumen. It's not the clothing, it's not the external things. And it's not even that Esav himself didn't care. Esav himself had, as you know, certain points of sincerity within him. And he wasn't a person that didn't have great qualities. He had certain very, very great qualities and very great kaiches. But the Svarma Gadashim talk about that in his potential, he was higher than Yaakov Avinu. But the chiluk between Yaakov and Esav is a chiluk between the Seel Hashem and the Seel HaZozo. But only when there was that bira, that separation between the two. Otherwise, the fact that they were twins and they came to the world in such a way indicates that on the surface they were very, very similar. And Rav Huttner talks about that in Pachi Yitzchak in the first Torah. Not the first Torah, but he talks about in Pachi Yitzchak in Purim, that those things that on the surface resemble each other and that are very, very, very similar, one has to enter into the pnimius of the pnimius to be able to tell them apart. And the resemblance on the surface forces you to look deeper into what really distinguishes between the two. That's why you see that when it came to the Seel Hashem and the Seel HaZozo, Rav Huttner explains that the halacha is that the Seel Hashem and the Seel HaZozo have to be as identical as possible. They have to resemble each other. The kaima, the damim, the Mishnah says, they have to be the same height and the same price and have to be the same. The Seel Hashem and the Seel HaZozo on the outside, which is Yaakov and Esav, looked exactly the same. They were twins. But in the Pnimius, Shubha Pnimius, one goes into the Zemekish and the other one is thrown off the mountain. One goes into the highest place, one goes down to the lowest place. But on the surface, it's not so posh to tell between the two. It's not so obvious the way that we think when we're reading Chumash. It's not obvious who Yaakov is and who Esav is. It's not obvious. There are things about Yaakov that don't look like they're the way they're supposed to be. So we say, Tita Nemes Yaakov, Tita Nemes Yaakov, and then we see Yaakov Avinu going in a strange way to do something that doesn't seem honest. And Esav, on the other hand, Esav, Chazal said that Esav's kibud of the aim, that the honor that he showed to his father was that we're not even zeichet to such a madrega. There are things that on the outside make Esav look better and Yaakov look worse. And only when a person goes into the pnimius of a pnimius does he discover that one is Lashem, the other is Lazazo. And it's like that when it comes to our machshavas and our taivas and so on. To be able to apply these strategies that the Rebbe is talking about, one has to first b'emes want to be a person of the Taher Libein La'odcha B'emes. B'emes want to be free of these things. But at least to call out and to ask and to want to be free of these things. It was to want to know the difference between Yaakov and Esav, and in myself to know the difference between the Yaakov part of myself and the Esav part of myself, and to be able to throw the Esav part of myself away down the mountain to get rid of. I don't want to have that in me anymore. I don't want that to be a part of me anymore. And it takes a tremendous amount of work to come to such a madrega where a person wants to separate between those twins, between Yaakov and Esav inside of him. Because each and every one of us has a Yaakov and an Esav. That's what we have to go through in life. And a person has to want very much to know the difference between Yaakov and Esav and the things that he thinks about and the things that he says and the things that he does, that it should be completely Yaakov Avinu and not Esav. And it's hard. A person has to become very used to this and spend a lot of time thinking about this and working on this inyan when it comes to all these inyanim of istaklus atzmus, of how to look at oneself and how to truly understand oneself. Until we truly have an understanding and a recognition of who we really are. The tiyana pulasena b'han pulas amitius, so that everything that we do is completely true.
See, for Yaakov Avinu to go in such a way, the way that his mother told him to, for Yaakov Avinu that was completely emesnik. Because Yaakov Avinu through and through was Nish Emes. If any of us would do that, it would be a lie. But by Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu is Tipan Emes the Yaakov. That's the pnimis of Yaakov's Emes. So even when Yaakov Avinu did something that, where it was a pa'ula that on the surface it appears to be not truthful, but Yaakov Avinu was the bechina of Emes, it was true. When people are not true, even when they're learning and they're davening, so there's all kinds of shaker. Allah has come and they're doing something that's not good. But even when we're doing something that's good, it's not amnestic. Yaakov Avinu did something that wasn't good, so it seems. It wasn't good, but it was all amnestic. It was all amnestic. And for a person to be able to understand himself and to recognize himself and who Bem is, who he really is, these parashas now, all the Musa Svarim, all the Rabbi Yochanan and all the Shtiklach and the Alter from Kelm, all of the Bali Musa and these parashas, and the parashah of Yaakov and Esav is in this Indian of Havchana Amitis, of knowing oneself and being honest with oneself and so on. The Marshal, for instance, Hatinaik Im Lakech Oisei Rabba Bal Karchai Elachei Delomayt. If you have a child and the Rebbe forces the child, the Rebbe drags the kid to Cheder. Me'al ha-mischak she-sichek v'shtasheya ba'im ha-yeladim אז אף שלא מידים רבי, וגם איני לא יעשה לא יעשה בלימודה, מכל מקום רצון המחשבה יסוף גם כולו במשחק נסונם. Now, the Rebbe takes the boy to Cheder, and in Cheder, besides learning in Cheder, of course he's going to be there with other boys, and he's going to have a good time, they're going to play. So even if the boy's learning with his Rebbe, and even if the boy is answering questions, he's okay. The Rebbe asks some questions, and the boy is able to answer the questions. But his rotzen and his machshavas are completely in recess, right? Or they're completely in the games. Even though he's able to answer the questions, and he's able to sit there in the shakel, but his rotzen and his machshavas are completely in the game. Gam b'hagadol, and so it is with an adult, yesh shakua b'eiz ha-machshava. You have a person can be completely shakua, a person can be completely immersed in a certain machshava of an adult type of a game, but a different machshava, not of holiness. Vim yishalayu oz zulosei eiz ha-dava min yinacher, and still, if someone asks him a question at work or whatever it might be, someone asks him a question regarding something else, Gam ken yaneyu, he's able to answer. Even though inside he's really shaku in something else, he's able to answer. And if the intellect, the mind, is able to continue functioning in that way, and yet he's completely shaku in that earlier machshava, meaning in that machshava that he really wants to be in. Zaysa Maris, this means, Shagam Ata Shachayshav Atina Krabi Limudai. Even now, when the child is obviously concentrating on his learning, because he's answering the question that the Rebbe asks him, so he must be following along in the Rashi or in the Gemara, he's following along because he's answering the question. And even the adult is able to answer the question that he's being asked. Nevertheless, the child is still completely in that machshava, and the adult is in that game, and the adult is in that earlier machshava. You really completely in that machshava. The kid is completely in the game, but the Rebbe, the way the Rebbe is, he stretches out the end or the edge of his thoughts to answer the question that he's being asked. A person's intelligent enough to do that. We do that all the time. Now, you're not really in the Indian that you're learning, but you can sit with the chavrus, and the chavrus, you're talking with the chavrus, you're learning the Gemara, whatever it is, and you're really someplace else, and that's where you want to be, and that's where you really are. And still, there could be enough, you know, you could multitask in such a way that you're able to stretch out to your chavrusa the fingertips of your thoughts to read the Rashi or to answer up, you know, whatever, some question. If it gets too complicated, then you say, no, I'm whoa, whoa, whoa. And you try, then you have to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, and then you try to go over the Gemara, right? That's when you say, whoa, whoa, whoa. But not that you're not smart enough. You don't have to come on to that whole, whoa, whoa, whoa. We've done that a million times on learning, right? Oh, whoa. It's like something happened. The only thing that happened is like it was going from the simple pshat, which you already had some comfort with, and it was going like, you know, into Tysus's kashin. You had to hold cup with that, and you're really someplace else. So then you go, oh, no. Or your friend asks you something, and you're like, you know, like you're thinking about it. You know, like, you know, could be. So he says, what could be? what are you talking about? No, it could be what you said. What I said, what are you talking about? These things happen all the time in learning. You know, not once, twice, it's years and years of stuff like this. You sit across from a person here with a Gemara, and you're saying, you're talking, and you're saying a little bit like the Gemara, you know, I told you, when I was growing up in Yeshiva, there's a friend of mine that he used to sleep while having his finger on the Gemara. He had an unbelievable kayak to do that. He was a legend in all the yeshivas when we were growing up. He used to sit like this, just like this. He used to be sound asleep like this, you know, like this. And he wouldn't like fall like down or anything. His hand would, he would just, because that always looks silly, like, you know, when you slip and then everybody looks at you. No, he would go like that the whole time, like this the whole time. And he had a twin brother that sat next to him. He went like this the whole time. And if the Rebbe would call on him, so his brother's job was to move the hand over to that word. He used to keep it like, every now and then the brother would move it over to a different place in the Gemara like this. And his brother was like this, totally still like this. And when the Rebbe would call on him, so his brother gave him a shot, and he would go, on the spot, but it wasn't good if the brother wasn't there, it was another guy, it wasn't so good, because the guys used to play around, and they'd pick up his hand and move the page, and he didn't feel anything. He could move like to a different, he could do a different masechta. And he'd start to say like the next, the thing we had his finger with him. And the guy would start to scream, what are you talking about? I wouldn't get paric with it. But he was able to select it the whole time. So a person is capable of all kinds of amazing tricks when it comes to being able to be in one place, Bahamas, and the other place you're not really there. You just, that's what Rabbi says, the way he describes it, that Moshe could say Ava in Machshav. You just stretch out the end, the say Ava, like the fingertips of your brain. You stretch out to your chavrus or you know to the other person. Sometimes if you have, you know, children, you have a child and say, and the child is talking to you on and on, you know, about an Indian or something, and you're going, mm-hmm, yeah, and then the kid says, like the kid is waiting for a response or something, and then you go, so what's upsetting you? Like, you weren't listening to the whole, you don't know the whole Indian, you don't know. But now you have to try to find some way how to get back in it, because then the kid's going to feel a bit. So you're sitting there 15 minutes and you're looking at the kid, and the kid's like going on and on about something, like, you know, and then my friend did this and the teacher said that, and my friend and the teacher together did this, no. And it's like a whole chagadja, and you're looking like you're interested, and look at the kid, and then the kid says, so what should I do? So you thought it was just going to be like a narrative. You didn't know there was going to be any like homework or anything. So then you go, what do you find that upsets you? Some sort of a comeback, like, you know, it's because you want to really the chaz of the Indian, because you don't know how to help, so you're stuck like in this not knowing place. And you know, it's like all these things happen. A person's not bad, he's really someplace else, and he's You give out. There are people that are in marriages like that for 50 years. That the whole marriage is only that the Moshe, you know, what the Rebbe said, Moshe could say even Mashavta Lana is Leishta. You know, his whole life is that it's just a little bit. You know, he's in his own world and he just gives. Or she just stretches out a little piece of the thoughts and the Mashavas and the feelings to give this person. The other one says, how come you're not. That's a person's capable of that. So he says, you could answer, you know, mm-hmm. See the kid sitting in class, and he could even, but there's even many could answer the question, he could follow along basically in the Gemara. If it gets hard, if it gets too complicated, then the person can't do that, because the Machshav is, you know, you can't be like that in a deep way in two places. A person, only like a certain kind of a mind can do that. But otherwise, regular people can't be in the depth of one thing and then in the depth of another Machshav. But you could sort of swim around on the surface. You know, of the shiur or of the conversation, you can sort of, you know, do that. Person's on the phone. Sometimes a person's on the phone, he's saying, and he's got like all other kinds of stuff going on. He's even like, you know, in the middle of doing something else, and he's telling the person on the phone, that's interesting, that's, And you're not even in that, you're in something else. Kein gam efshelucha shetishar kulcha machshavtecha. So you see that a person can be completely in the machshava, in that terrible midah, in a terrible taiva. A person can be completely in the machshava. Uvitzarecha kulay nosan b'soicharachash, and your entire ratzon is not machshava that you're having, that negative machshava. V'gam b'shosh atachoshav alay doisay, and even when you're using the strategy that we've been learning about, alay doisay, in other words, that you're not in the machshava, you're thinking about how disgusting and horrible and terrible the machshava is. It's not that you're actually separated and thinking about that machshava. You're still in it. You think that you're in a cold and detached way studying yourself, but you're not really. You're enjoying and indulging in that machshava. That's what I was talking about with the boy and the girl that they've been fighting for 3 years about how, you know, about their relationship. So the whole Indian is you're still in that, you're shakur in that rachash, in that thought, in that feeling. And there's a little part of it, a little piece of the machshava of your thoughts that you just reach out and to think about it. You're really in the machshava, in that destructive machshava. But part of yourself, a little piece, you stretch out to look at it in the way that the Rebbe's been describing. But that doesn't work unless you be'emes are trying to get out of it, and you really, really, really want out. See, that's what happens with these relationships, destructive relationships, and you realize that it's not for you and it's terrible. So you know, it doesn't take months and years talking and hacking. A person knows when they're, let's say, this inyan of a boy and a girl, they could know after a few times that it's not a good relationship and just bring you down. But they sincerely would like to get out of the relationship. They really would like to get out of the relationship, but the problem is that the bigger part of who they are and the bigger part of one's rotzen is shakua in the pleasure of being in that relationship. And there's only a small part of it that is able to sit back and in a distant and cold way to ask oneself, is this the right person for me? Am I conducting myself the way that I expected to conduct myself? Is this a person that I see myself spending the rest of my life with? Because if you ask yourself those questions over and over, you ask yourself, and you really, really want to know what's the truth, is this something that I should remain in? So then this is not going to be a 3-year relationship, it's not going to be a 3-week relationship, it's going to be finished. But the problem is that the person will occasionally ask these kind of questions. You know, is it something that is this right for me? And they'll have a friend that will say, you know, you sure, you know, this is good, and so on. They'll talk, but it's not. He's really in the inyan of enjoying that taiva, and he just talks about it, and a little bit like he talks about it, maybe it's not good for me, and it's taka not good for me, but he talks to a good friend, and it's not good for me, it's taka not good for me, but he can't get out of it. He can't get out of it, because the ikra of who he is shakua, is in that taiva. And there's only a little bit of himself that occasionally, because he's an intelligent person and he's got a good friend, so a little bit of himself he starts to ask himself, is this the right thing? Is this good for me? And starts to think about it. And what, how have I been acting? And is this what I expected of myself? And what is it about this person that I really find so attractive or so chashuv? What is it about the person that really keeps me in this relationship? You could ask those questions, but in a very, very shallow and silly way. But the pnimius is shakua in the taiva. And therefore you can't get yourself out of the relationship. Even though when you have a moment of sanity, you know that this is terribly destructive for yourself and for the other person, and it's not what Hashem wants, and it's keeping you from everything you have to be in life and so on. But it's only the edge, and the regularly it's just a little bit of your machshava that you send into that way of thinking. But otherwise you're shaku in it. Same thing when it comes to a taiva. Rabbi Nelson Bestler spoke about how you see that the way that a person is, that Shas Maisa, when he has the taiva, and he's God forbid, let's say, even carrying out the taiva, so he never, at that time that he's carrying out the taiva, he doesn't think about it. He's totally lost in it. He can't separate himself and ask the right questions to interview himself about what he's doing. When does a person usually do that? After he already did the aveira. After he did the aveira, then he starts to talk about it in his brain. And then he comes to the conclusion, of course, that he's a big maneuver, he's a big Russia, and that it's totally and completely befitting a Russia like himself to continue with such a life. But at Bishas Maisa, he never thinks badly of himself. It's interesting. You'll never find a person that's in the middle of carrying out some taiva that he had, and stops in the middle of the taiva and says to himself, you know, you're really such a disgusting person. You really, this is the, you know, the person doesn't know. They just go through the taiva. They try not to think. They just, you know, get some shot, not to think, and they just do that. And then afterwards, they start to get very, very upset. How can I do this? What kind of person am I? And I never thought it would be this way. And I wasn't like that in yeshiva. And I can't believe I did that. But you never find a person in the middle of taiva saying, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is not something which befits me. It's not something which is kedai for me. In the middle of the taiva, they don't think like that. In the middle of taiva, they don't think. They don't want to think. Because they know that if they think about the inyan, like the Rebbe's saying, then they're going to lose their cheshek. If you think about something, you lose your cheshek. That's the Rebbe's whole point here. If you're just in it, then the cheshek gets stronger. But if you think about it, then the cheshek goes away. Then you lose the cheshek. So, Bishas Maisa said that if you don't sincerely want to get out of it, then you'll not think. Like the Gemara says, the Gemara with Nur Bebeis, the Rabbi Amram, right? The Maisa and the Gemara brings that there was, that Rabbi Amram was the tzaddik of the generation, was the Gadol Hador. And the Maisa was that there were some, there was some girls that were, you know, some young women that were brought from some place to work, and they were up in the loft in the barn. That's where they were staying, and then Rabbi Amram went over there with a taiva. The Gemara is not hiding it, and the Gemara says that Rabbi Amram started to. It required a tremendous effort on his part to get up there. And he started to climb up, to go do an aveira there. And he started to scream out, Nura, Nura, there's a fire in the house of Rabbi Amram. He started to scream out. And he wasn't ashamed of that. And the Gemara is not embarrassed or ashamed to write such a thing. Nura, there's a fire in the house of... But look how he speaks about himself like he's another person. He doesn't even say I'm having a tremendous taiva. I have yetzar. There's a fire in the house of Rabbi Amram, and the fire that he was talking about was the yetzar. That's an unbelievable madrega. That b'shas ma'is at the time of the taiva to want not to fall into that taiva, not to slip into do the aveir. So he separated himself to think about himself in such a way that there's a fire, or like the ma'isa with. The Maisa that Shimon HaTzadik said about that nausea, that Halavai Shiab and Nazir Nazir's Bisal Kamaisa, about the nausea that was very, very good looking. He looked into the, he saw his reflection in the water, and his Yetzirah and the Yetzirah, he wasn't a Nazir, he was a young man. He was a very, very, very God-fearing young man. He saw, he noticed how handsome he was in his reflection in the water, and he had a tremendous taiva, and he said about himself, Rosh Hashakam Yisrael. He said, you Russia, you want to destroy your whole life and to lose everything? So on that person, Shimon HaTzadik, who normally was opposed to Nazir, said, Ha'advayish, Yabu Nazir, Nazir, Bisol, Kamayish, what a good, that's a gewaldige gemedrege. Why? Because normally you don't stop and think about yourself. In other words, he had this big taiva, all of a sudden he had the Yetzirah that he could go out and whatever and make some conquest with a girl. And what happens? And he says about himself, Rosha Shekamayish, you Rosha. In other words, he separated himself and looked at himself in an objective way. That's that. And on that, Shimon HaTzadik said, "Ooh, that's a madrega. That b'shas ma'aseh, that a person has a taiva that he's able to stop and to take himself out of it and to say, what kind of a rush is this person? Look what he's doing to see himself in such a way, and in doing so, to separate oneself from that machshav and not to get lost in that machshav." Not to get lost in that taiva. That is what the Rebbe is talking about. But it's very hard, b'shas ma'aseh. Afterwards, you can do that all the time. After an aveira, you can always think, ugh. You can always think, because you know that then, because after the aveira, the second aveira is finished, you don't have a cheshek for it anymore. You just feel disgusting and sick. So then you're able to look about how disgusting and sick it is. But b'shas ma'aseh, when you're in the machshava, you're in the taiva, you don't want to think like, you don't want to think. So that's what could happen, the Rebbe says, that it could be that you're still completely in the machshava, and you try a little bit, you know, to use the strategy, and you stretch out the little pinky, to think, because you're trying to be mekayim the eitzah that I'm giving you. You want to keep that, you want to put into practice the eitzah that I'm giving you. Could be at the same time that you're using this strategy, you completely shaku the machshav and the taiva. You could try the same thing when it comes to hisaros of a bad midah. You know, when you're very angry. When you're very angry, it's very hard for you to separate yourself and to think, look what you look like. If a person would think of what he looks like when he's angry, he would scare him. He wouldn't be angry. What you look like when you're angry, you look terrible, you're crazy. And how it sounds and what you're saying and if a person would truly be able to separate himself and to think about himself in that way, he wouldn't say anything. He wouldn't start screaming and carrying on. But the problem is that afterwards you say, oh, I can't believe it, it wasn't me, I don't know how I did that, I shouldn't have done that. But b'shas ma'aseh, you can't separate yourself, or if you do, it's just to go through the motions of using the strategy, but you're still shaku in the inyan. Gamal shakua ata b'tzoynchav machshav t'chaba ta'iva. Va'az le'toyu l'chamu umu machshav k'zu, and it's not going to work, the machshav is not going to work. That was the strategy. V'nazkir, Mazes Divrei Kodesh LaRav Kodesh Reb Osher HaGadol Stalin Shama BeKodshei. Listen to what the Stalin has said. Heim Tzoyekim Ala Yetzahar Ima Yetzahar. The people that are screaming Heim Tzoyekim Al HaYetzahar, they're screaming at the Yetzahar with the Yetzahar. That's what that girl was writing into the letter, that she was afraid of what was going on in the class in the seminary. That these men are screaming about the Yetzahar with the Yetzahar, and that's why she was getting nervous sitting there. Therefore, the Yetzirah is not afraid of such a person. The Yetzirah, the Sitra Achra, the Satan, lifts. In other words, if you're yelling at your Yetzirah with the Yetzirah is your. That's, everything is fine, we're on good terms. We get along very well. You're screaming, yelling about the Yetzirah. No. But he says, but the Stalinist said, Aval Anu Tzoikim Ala Yetzirah Im Hashem Isbarach. But when I scream at the Yetzirah, I scream with the Ribbono Shel Olam at the Yetzirah. I don't scream with my Yetzirah at the Yetzirah. I scream Im Hashem Yisbarach. It's a very, very deep verse. What the Stalinist says, it's a sentence, but you have to hold on to that. Heim Tzoyikim Ala Yetzirah. There are those who scream at the Yetzirah. Im, with what? With the Yetzirah. Im Hayetzirah. Aval anu tzoyikim al ha-yetzahara, gim Hashem Yisbarach. L'ubarech tekev. And if you scream at the Yetzirah with Hashem Yisbarach, then the Yetzirah runs away right away. It runs right away. Finished. When you scream at the Yetzirah with the Yetzirah, then the Yetzirah says, oh, it's good over here. It's Mechaya. Ad Kam, so that's what the Stalinist said. Zchor is divrei kodesh elu. Remember these holy words that the Stalinist said. Ki harba pamim yesha daima la'adam shetzayiku al Yetzirah. Many times it looks to you, you think that you're angry with the Yetzirah and you're screaming about the Yetzirah. Aval gam ha'tzaki ima Yetzirah. But even the tzaki itself is with the Yetzirah. Sometimes it seems to you that you're thinking about the taiva or about the Yetzirah because you're trying to use the strategy to destroy it. Could be that that machshava itself is a taiva. Could be making it even stronger and even greater. So the Rebbe is going to help us with some strategies of being able to deal with that and to be mafkin with that, and we'll continue to show next time.